Maybe your friends chide you from time to time about the things you complain about, calling them first world problems. We do take lots of things for granted in our part of the world, like being able to go to the doctor and get medical issues fixed. Not so in every part of the world. In Nepal, high up in the Himalayas, most people can't afford a relatively simple surgical procedure that can make a huge difference in their lives. The procedure is cataract surgery. The Himalayan Cataract Project takes doctors from over here over to there to help cataract patients. Medford ophthalmologist Matt Oliva does the work and sits on the board of the project, and he's in the studio with me. Good to see you, Dr. Oliva.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
So how long has the Himalayan Cataract Project existed? How did it get started?
Sure. The Himalayan Cataract Project started in 1995, and it was called the Himalayan Cataract Project because it was thought that the blindness problem in Nepal would be insurmountable. There was about 1,000 cataract surgeries a year in a country of 30 million people at that time. And by focusing on training doctors and lowering the cost of eye surgery, if you fast forward 20 years later, there's 350,000 surgeries a year happening in Nepal, and the model that has been developed in Nepal is now being spread to places like Ethiopia and Ghana. So the name Himalayan Cataract Project is a little bit restrictive in terms of our scope of trying to eliminate blindness in the world is actually having a far-reaching effect now.
Well beyond the Himalayas, certainly.
Exactly.
And how did you get involved with it?
I started as a young doctor out of training, finishing in the University of Washington in Australia, with a passion for international ophthalmology. And I went to Nepal right when the project started in 1995, and I saw the miracle of cataract surgery, where you, for a mere $25, you could take someone who was completely blind and in a simple 5 to 10 minute surgery completely transform that person to give them their sight back again. So I was really struck by the power of the surgery and the public health impact that could have.
And the time frame is what now in the surgery?
So, yeah, cataract surgery really is a miracle. If you think about it, you can have someone who's been blind maybe 5, 10, sometimes even 15 years, and through a relatively low-cost, straightforward, high success operation using a team approach. 5 to 10 minutes later, the cataract is removed, a new lens is placed in the eye. The next day, the patient has their bandage taken off and they can see again. It requires very little follow-up, and it's a miraculous surgery, and we do both eyes at the same time in someone who's blind in both eyes, and the next day they can see.
That's amazing. 5 to 10 minutes. We'll talk about the recovery process in just a moment. But what are some of the unique things in Nepal in particular that makes people there more prone to cataracts?
Sure. So cataracts is what a cataract is, and it's important to know, is when it's the clouding of the lens of the eye. So we all get cataracts with time as we get older. Many people in the United States have cataract surgery when they can have trouble driving at night or glare from headlights. It's a little bit of a different animal in a place like Nepal. We're talking about the lens being completely opaque and many people not being able to see hands moving in front of their face. And it has to do with the altitude. It has to do with nutrition and also primarily lack of access to care. So in Nepal 20 years ago, there were very few doctors that were doing cataract surgery. In a country like Ethiopia right now, 100 million people, 100 doctors. So, you know, one doctor for every doing cataract surgery for every, million people in the country. You can imagine there's not much cataract surgery going on in many places.
I'm curious about the nutritional component of this because it's certainly, if we want to talk about prevention, there's probably something the rest of us in the world can think about for the stuff that should be in our diets that might slow down the process of cataracts forming.
Yeah, cataracts go along with poverty and access to clean water, to just basic high nutritional foods is lacking. So if you look at cataract prevalence, it's always in sort of the dry, dusty, forgotten places of the world where the basic level of hygiene and nutrition may be low.
So in deciding where to expand the Himalayan Cataract Project beyond its original base in the Himalayas. I mean, did you essentially look for like the next place in the world where cataracts were occurring a lot and people weren't getting treated for them?
Exactly. I was invited to work with the Millennium Villages Project, which started in Africa looking at places of high need. And what they found was that the world's poorest places all had a high number of blind people. And so Ghana and Ethiopia were two places we identified as having huge cataract problems. There's 800,000 people that are completely blind in the country of Ethiopia from cataracts that can have their sight restored. So we started meeting doctors, training doctors, and really trying to replicate what we've accomplished in Nepal and apply that model to Ethiopia. And we've ramped up very quickly. We're doing 25,000 surgeries in Ethiopia this year. So it's just like Nepal was 20 years ago, and we hope it has the same possibilities for success in reducing the tide of blindness that's happening there.
Dr. Matt Oliva is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's an ophthalmologist at Medical Eye Center in Medford, and he's on the board of the Himalayan Cataract Project, which, as you've heard, has expanded beyond the Himalayas. Questions or comments, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. Ideas about where else in the world perhaps the Himalayan Cataract Project should be. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I do want to point out, too, that the piece that NPR recorded with you, I guess back in December, is now up on the website.
Correct.
And we'll make sure we connect to that too, but you actually got a reporter to follow you around.
Sure. The National Public Radio health reporter Jason Boban came with me to Ethiopia and participated in a high volume cataract surgery where we did 1,000 cataract surgeries with the local doctors over the course of a week, and he did a nice story that aired on All Things Considered earlier this week and is available on both the NPR and the JPR websites.
So what about the working conditions? I mean, I can imagine when you get to a new country that you're going to find a bit of a difference from what you're used to at Medical Eye Center and around Southern Oregon.
What's amazing about cataract surgery is the success rate doesn't matter in terms of the location, and we can set up a school or a rural hospital to be a very functional high-volume cataract surgery intervention. So the important thing about doing cataract surgery and training doctors is to do a high volume. There's so many people that need care, so we carefully plan our events where we go and screen people in their villages. We bring them to the location, and then we work very efficiently where we'll do several hundred cataract surgeries each day over the course of a week. And that's just because the demand is so high. But if you look at infection rates and outcomes, they can be exactly the same as the most sophisticated center in the United States, even in a remote place. And we've proved this in head-to-head studies, actually.
There's a fascinating picture that I cribbed from your website at the Himalayan Cataract Project to use to billboard the story on our website. And it's people just laying around in recovery with the bandages over their eyes after the surgery. They're all together in a bunch, so it's not quite the American style of recovery room we're used to. But how long do they have to keep the bandages on?
Just one night, and they take the bandage off the next day. And in most situations, people can see quite well the next day.
And that must be a really interesting moment, even for a guy working in the business a long time like you.
Jeffrey, it's an amazing moment to share with another human being when you see them before the surgery and they're hunched over and they're with their children who are having to help them. And then the next day you can pull off the bandages and this person has their life restored, and you see them 20 minutes later and they're walking upright, they have their dignity back, their children are smiling because their children are going to have a different life where they don't need to maybe take care of their family member. And, you know, having a blind person in a family in the developing world in a very poverty-stricken area can be the difference between life or death for many of these people. Blindness and life expectancy are tightly correlated, and that once you become blind, especially if you're a child, your life expectancy goes way down. So we're restoring sight, but we're really restoring lives and livelihood.
They need to be able to move around independently. It's a big, big thing in that part of the world. 22 years plus now in Nepal alone. I mean, have you made a big dent? I mean, are there fewer people to find now with cataracts because of this work?
Absolutely. Nepal is the only country in the developing world that's actually reduced its arc of blindness. As the population has aged, the blindness prevalence is going down. Everywhere else in the developing world, the blindness prevalence is going up. So, you know, this is a massive public health problem, but it's a public health problem that we can solve. It's not we know how to solve cataract blindness, and it's a matter of bringing enough resources to the problem. So if you look at tuberculosis or HIV, you know, those are really challenging and important public health problems. But blindness, we have 39 million people that are blind in the world, 18 million blind people with a $25 surgery could have their sight restored.
Wow. So not quite half of them.
Yeah, so if you think about, you know, Washington and Oregon, the entire states of Washington and Oregon, maybe if you roughly estimate that at 18 million people, would we tolerate having the entire states of Washington, Oregon completely blind that could be fixed with a $25 surgery? That's the sort of the parallel that I try to use to illustrate the scope of the problem.
So it's not, well, when you say $25 surgery, it's not what it costs for us in America, I'm guessing.
Exactly. The material costs of the surgery are $25. In a place like Ethiopia, it costs us about $75. To this surgery, and we do a little bit different technique, but you know, medical costs don't need to be as much as they are, obviously, in the United States. So.
Matt Olive is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the Medical Eye Center in Medford and the Himalayan Cataract Project. He's on the board of that. So how can you afford to do this? I mean, where does the primary funding come from for the project to do its work in the countries it's in?
So we spend about $10 million a year as our current budget, and about half of it comes from individual donors, about half of it comes from United States aid, USAID, which helps us with the infrastructure.
Which is an arm of the State Department, right?
An arm of the State Department, correct.
Right, so just making sure that the people like us in parts of the world is a helpful thing. So how many people do you see around the world in a year personally? I mean, you talk about these droves of people that come through when the clinics are there, but I mean, how many people are you personally going to see over the course of a year overseas, let alone the people you see in Medford?
I do about 2,000 cataract surgeries a year. I do about 1,000 here and about 1,000 overseas. So I spend about 4 to 6 weeks overseas each year.
How have you been on the board since you first got involved with the project, or did that come later?
I joined the board in 2005, so 13 years now, and our scope of our project is growing, and the reach of our project is growing. And I, over the last 20 years, we've treated 625,000 patients.
Wow.
With surgery. Uh-huh. And we trained 500 doctors. And I think the important thing to know, really what we're about is focusing on the training aspect.
So it's not just a fly-in clinic. You're doing training too.
Absolutely. It's the teach someone to fish model and give them the tools that they need to catch the fish. And so what's been exciting is not just the doctors from the United States coming, but doctors from Nepal now coming to Africa to teach. So that south-to-south connection, because if someone comes to the Medical Eye Center in Medford and as a trainee, and we do host some trainees, you know, the model may not be applicable to their situation in rural Ethiopia where they have 5 million people and they're the one doctor and they need to do things differently. So, but going to Nepal where they see a developing country that's reversed its blindness problem and what's possible, it really turns on that light bulb in their head that, hey, I can do that here in Ghana or Ethiopia or Malawi or different countries.
On your trips to these countries, is it like going to a convention where you never get to appreciate the city you're in? I mean, do you ever get to see anything but the patients? I mean, have you a feel for Nepalese culture or what it's like in Ethiopia?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a wonderful way to travel because you're there for a purpose, and I love working hard with an all Ethiopian team around me and just the camaraderie aspect of it and making a difference is, but you don't get a ton of sightseeing, but I was just recently in Harar, Ethiopia, where with the NPR group, and it's known for feeding hyenas there. They have a they've been feeding hyenas for hundreds of years. So at the end of the campaign, we went and fed the hyenas. So there's very few tourist things, but they can be quite memorable in remote places too.
So I was looking at the timeline. So you've been with the Himalayan Cataract Project since very early in your career, since 95, but you've been with Medical Eye Center since 2012. So, and I noticed Paul Imperia from the Eye Center is also participating in this. So did this bring you to Medford in a sense?
I originally practiced in Seattle before moving to the Rogue Valley, and part of the reason I left Seattle was it was hard for me to get away to do international work. So I moved here because of joining a great group of doctors, and all the doctors at Medical Eye Center are involved in humanitarian work, and Paul Yerizo and Dr. John Welling and Dr. Imperia and other doctors have all volunteered their time and efforts overseas as well. And also locally, I might add, we do some really solid stuff with the migrant workers and trying to bring eye care to populations in need, not just abroad, but locally as well.
Just about half a minute left. Is there another frontier for the Himalayan Cataract Project, another set of places you're thinking about going next?
We're looking at Indonesia and Myanmar. We're building a hospital in Bhutan. And, you know, the final point I'd love to make is that it's totally possible to end needless blindness in the world. And we want to keep working and growing and collaborating with other groups and doctors until we have a world where someone doesn't need to be blind, needlessly blind, when they can have a relatively simple surgery to correct the problem. And it's totally possible.
That's a phrase that sticks with you, needless blindness. Indeed. Dr. Matt Oliva is with the Medical Eye Center in Medford and on the board of the Himalayan Cataract Project. So he's been working for years in Nepal, more recently in Ethiopia. They're also in Ghana and how many other countries altogether?
We're in nine countries.
Nine countries now. Okay, so there you have it, the Himalayan Cataract Project. You can listen to the NPR piece. We'll link to it through our website. There's also a piece where HBO's Vice followed the folks from HCP around recently. Matt Oliva, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
It's good to have you.